Patrick Anderson of the Anderson Economic Group. Patrick, how are you?
Good morning.
Where are you as we speak?
I'm right here in Bath Township today.
How about that?
Yeah.
You're usually in Chicago or L.A. Welcome home.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to ask you what you thought of President Obama's job plan. Can it work?
Well, President Obama's jobs plan, I'm putting this in quotes because I think there are more jobs plans than there are politicians in Washington right now. At least the one that he announced last week was a mixture of things that generally work in terms of supporting employment in the short term in a recession, and a couple things that were clearly added in there as just kind of political fodder or what I would consider to be things that irritate and reward favored constituencies without doing anything really to help the economy.
When I saw this plan, and we're still digging into the details, but I'm always wary of plans that are put together and implemented in times of peril, and it doesn't seem to have a real foundation and a long-term effect. What are your thoughts on that?
It doesn't have a long-term effect. In fact, even the president's, I guess, say defenders are people that look at it and say it'll work in the short term, and I would include myself, say clearly it doesn't have a long-term effect. In fact, there's a contemplated reversal of some of the policies, and I would say in particular on taxation, the centerpiece of the what the president proposed was a payroll tax cut, and at the same time he talked about raising tax rates on other people, including the employers and some of the people who had received the payroll tax cut, and sometime in the very near future. So at best, you encourage people to hire folks a little bit earlier and then lay them off. That's, I think, on the short term, at least a positive, but it is not something that encourages long-term employment growth in the United States of America.
Patrick, if the president said, Mr. Anderson, I want you to take over this job. Your job is to create jobs. Whatever you have to do for the long term or the short term, I'll give you all the tools you need. What would you do?
First thing I do is recognize that jobs aren't created in Washington, D.C. They're created in, you know, Bath Township, in Fowlerville, in places like that, where you have entrepreneurs and people that are trying to make things and hire people and make a living. That's where jobs are created. And a big criticism that myself and others have of, in general, the policies out of Washington, not only through the entire Obama administration, but I'd also say in the last, say, year of the Bush administration, was that they were top-down, big bailout, big support, big, macroeconomic, big quantitative easing, lots of things that tried to support the economy or stabilize the economy from the top down. And then on the other hand, you had a whole lot of things that made it harder for actual individual employers to hire people. You made it more uncertain about what would happen to them in the future, and you threatened them with higher tax rates and talked to them in a manner that left particular entrepreneurs feeling unsettled about what was happening ahead. And even as recently as last week when the president was speaking, he was talking to the private sector saying, we want you to hire. He actually was making it less expensive for people to hire if Congress adopted his proposal. But at the same time, there's the undercurrent of, meanwhile, we're going to be raising taxes in the future on you. And those mixed messages are ones that employers tend to parse out very effectively, and thus far they have interpreted as it's a risky place to hire workers.
Patrick, from what I understand from the perspective of a journalist, from the information I've gathered, that employers do have money and they're holding it close to the vest because no matter what the president says for the short term, these people, these business owners, these business managers are still uncertain about the long-term future, and therefore, because of that uncertainty in the long term, no short-term tax incentives are going to cause them to want to go out and hire more people now. Am I right or wrong in that assessment?
There's no question that uncertainty among employers, and in particular, uncertainty about two things. One, whether the economy is getting better or not, and two, whether government policies are going to increase their costs, and particularly in health care and in tax burdens, those two things are really holding down employment and investment decisions that all of us would like them to make. It is true that corporations, which are not the majority of businesses, but large corporations right now in aggregate are sitting on a good chunk of cash. They've been saving their money very assiduously, and they're risk-averse right now, no question about it. Most of the job growth, though, occurs in limited liability companies, subchapter S corporations, partnerships, sole proprietorships, what are typically called, quote, small, end quote, businesses. These folks, we have much less reliable data on how much money they have, but you cannot tell them that they're being imprudent by trying to conserve their cash. Many of them find it almost impossible to borrow money from banks. They often are primarily financed through their own family wealth. They look out ahead. They see health care reform. None of them, even myself, I cannot tell you what our costs will be when national health care kicks in, or even if it's constitutional, it'll be held up and will go into effect as adopted. That's a lot of uncertainty for employers. The short-term effects of the president's proposal, if it's adopted, and I think probably the payroll tax cut will be adopted by Congress, is a modest stimulus in the short term. It will increase hiring modestly. But until we drain out this huge amount of uncertainty, I think we're going to have a hard time restoring the employment that we lost during the Great Recession.
And Patrick, finally, before I let you go, I was watching the news about the president's plan. My wife got frustrated because she believes that we're not going to succeed until government gets out of the way. And it got me to thinking, we've got these two factions here. There are those who said if the government gets out of the way and you let business go for it, that in the end they will end up taking advantage of the system. And then you have this other side that says if you overregulate, you'll hold business back. And it seems to me the politicians know that rules and regulations and restrictions need to be eased on business in order for them to succeed, but the political process won't let them.
I'm an optimist about the political process in the United States. I see people correct their mistakes at the ballot booth, not always in the smoothest fashion, but nonetheless. You clearly have seen Americans swing the last couple of elections and say what they like and what they don't like, and I think that we're about a year away from another resounding message of one type or another. There's no question that if you choose between having government decide what you want and having the private sector made up of a whole bunch of businessmen and women trying to make a profit try to satisfy you, you will do a whole lot better as a consumer, as a worker, and even as a person that values the environment in a free market economy. If you don't trust me on that, just look at North Korea and South Korea, East Germany and West Germany, and Soviet Union versus United States. I mean, it's just, there's no question about that for the larger issue. I can't remember the last time I saw anybody selling a car made in East Germany, the Soviet Union, but there are a lot of cars made in the United States, in Japan, in Germany, in Korea, in places where there's a free market. So just on that one product, I think we have a pretty good general determination that when you let people try to make money using their own money and their own skills and their own toil, they do that by making their customers happy. I'd much rather be in an environment where I have not only businesses competing to sell me services, but also politicians competing to try to get me to support them. It's not a perfect society. It's just a better one than anyone else has ever designed.
Well, the Big B Coffee big guest of the day has been Patrick Anderson of the Anderson Economic Group. Patrick, I'm going to be shooting you an email. We're going to try and set up an environment to have you as well as Charles Ballard in on the radio show here live in studio, and we'll talk economics.
Good to talk to you and your listeners again, Tony.